This thing right here.
Yeah.
It's for my peoples in the streets.
Yes, yes, today. Yes, yes, today. You know, as we start this show, this one mic.
I have decided to skip college and take my talent to the NBA.
Jerry West told me greatness lies ahead for this young man.
Kobe Bryant, the kid. Shot 81-point game.
History at Staples Center.
Kobe Bryant at the buzzer.
Kobe Bryant.
One of the greatest of all time.
Kobe was someone I just always wanted to be like.
He meant so much to me as a player.
And it's the reason why I play the game the way I play the game.
His impact is everlasting.
I love everything about this game. So for me, it's not a part of life, it is life. And it's truly a part of me.
At the age of 41, Kobe Bean Bryant died much too soon in a tragic helicopter crash. This fatality also claimed the life of his 13-year-old daughter, Gigi, who had her eyes set on pursuing a scholarship at UConn. She wanted to continue the legacy of her family and her father playing in the WNBA. We also have learned that the crash claimed the life of Orange County baseball coach John Antebelli, his daughter, Alyssa, who I believe was a teammate of Gigi's, and wife, Carrie. Bryant won 5 NBA championships, 18 All-Star, made it to 18 All-Star games, 15-time All-NBA All-Star, 12-time member of the All-Defensive Team, NBA Most Valuable Player in 2008. Most importantly, he is someone who is beloved, not only in the NBA, but all over the world. He's one of those figures that impact is felt globally. His former teammate and brother Shaq said, there's no words to express the pain I'm going through with this tragedy of losing my niece, Gigi, and my brother, Kobe Bryant. I love you, and you will be missed. My condolences go out to the Bryant family, and the families of the other passengers on board. I'm sick right now. I think that rings out all over the NBA, those feelings. I know when I heard it, I was blown away. I thought it was a prank. I thought it wasn't real. I've had a chance to connect with some of my close friends and folks. Dr. Damon Williams, who you'll hear in this talk series that we'll be doing, who is a Laker fan, a Kobe fan. And you can hear the playing in his voice. His effect transcends sports, which in my mind is the definition of icon. And so the title of this show was intended to be called Can I Share My Pain With You? And we were supposed to talk about our own personal sports story or a story of a team that we root for. It was a painful moment. And we did not have to change the title for this show as we want to spend a little bit of time just reflecting on Kobe and what his life meant, not only in sports, but just what he's meant to us in terms of from a title standpoint. So I'm here with my host, co-host Darnell and Hank. And, you know, I'll start with you, Hank. You know, I just what's your response? I don't know what else to say. I know we're all kind of reeling right now, but, you know, what did you think when you heard it? Where are you at right now?
You know, let me tell you something, and just for everybody listening out there, and I do have a tribute for him, and I'll drop the mic, but this was such a surreal, you know, thing to happen today. This was one of those where you say, I remember where I was at. And because you're absolutely right, it was when the news came across, you just knew it was fake. Nobody wanted to hear anything, wanted to believe anything that tragic, you know, and just what Kobe Bryant meant to the NBA, what Kobe Bryant to me, you know, was what I would call like the Derek Jeter of basketball. You know, just a really good guy, won championships, did everything just on the up and up. And, like, again, you know, just a hard player, a hard person not to like. And when you hear this, and then you hear that his daughter also, you know, tragically, you know, perishes in this helicopter crash, it's like, you know, you don't have to be a fan of Kobe Bryant to just, you know, just say this is just tragic. And I say that because it is almost as if as though a family member or a distant family member, you know, automatically just dies. And it's like, what happened? And you know that they were doing well. You know they were feeling well. You thought they were doing okay. And then something like this happens. You just, life is just so precious, and it's just so thin, and anything can happen at any time. And just, this is one of those times, and it's just, I can't, the only words that I can really describe it is just extremely, extremely sad.
You know, the irony of all this is he was on the way to a game at the Mamba Academy. His daughter was playing. He's a coach. You know, one of the things that was amazing was that I think it was Lloyd Pierce, the Hawks coach, said, I think he said this, was that it was so amazing. He's never seen someone who went from being so competitive to changing his whole perspective. Not the non-competitiveness, but his impact on just shifting on this kind of teaching, like this kind of 180 in terms of being single focused to community and global focused, in a way that was, you know, loving him in terms of with his family, the work he was trying to do to have an impact globally. And I think part of that is just Kobe's focus on being excellent. And if excellence have an impact, whatever he could do to kind of do that would be what he would focus on. And whatever he's going to focus on, he's going to, whether it was being a good parent, working with his daughter, or whatever it is, he was going to try to be the best at it. And that commitment to getting there and getting everybody there to the game and being part of it with the kids is all a part of this story. Darnell, it's really interesting because, you know, your generation, and I'm watching young people who come from your generation and who are in the league, who are in the way they're reacting, because, you know, Kobe was well on his career by the time most of these young guys come in the league, like he's retired. But the impact you can see on it, you know, from your generational perspective, what was like when you heard this, and, you know, how are you feeling?
Well, you thought it was a prank. You thought it was a joke. I still don't think it's real. I can't, like, I'm completely numb to the situation. It hasn't really set in yet. But Kobe Bryant was, he was my first favorite basketball player because he was drafted the same year I was born. So my very first basketball memory was Kobe Bryant in the 2001 NBA Finals against Allen Iverson and the Sixers. So my fandom of Kobe Bryant goes way, way back through the earliest I've ever known of the game of basketball. And last night, the phone's ringing. Somebody's calling. Probably my uncle trying to talk about Kobe right now. But
that's why we're the real sports guy. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, man. But it's just awful. But Knowing Kobe, it was my first basketball memory, was Kobe Bryant in 2001. And I was just talking, ironically enough, the other day on Twitter with Kevin Richards. He was talking about, it was a topic about what was our favorite basketball memory. And he said the 2004 finals when the Pistons won, right? And I remember telling him, I was like, I was too young to really appreciate that team because that team plays my style of basketball that I love to watch. But I couldn't appreciate it at the time because I was young, and I was just a huge Kobe fan. And yeah, and yesterday was the day LeBron passed Kobe in the all-time scoring list, and I think he was there at the game.
The irony was he decided not to come because he wanted LeBron at that moment. But when you listen to LeBron, like weave his experience with Kobe from the time he was in high school, when Maverick drove him up to Philadelphia, they were playing OKL playing against Carmelo, drove him up to Philadelphia to his hotel so he could meet him. You know, and then kind of weaving it through the career, it's just crazy that was like less than 24 hours ago, right? Kobe had a post on his face on Twitter, you know, sent a message out to LeBron. And so, you know, it was like this whole different trajectory of the conversation was happening. One of my moments I remember when he took them 4 3-pointers down the stretch was against Utah. And I was like, this cat has no fear. He missed the first one. He missed the next one. I'm thinking, he has no fear. And then when you have Shaq tell the story later, it was like, he's the only one who really wants to take the shot. The youngin was the only one who really wanted to take the shot. And that right there said he wasn't afraid to fail. And so much in life is your ability to not be frozen by the idea of failure. Like success only can come through your ability to bounce back from failure, because that's where the learning moments happen. And no one leaned into that more than Kobe. And you saw that publicly. He was not afraid to do it, and that allowed him to build towards those moments. You know, I was going to go to you, Hank, about you know, generationally, when you think about when people pass away, you know, I thought about when Thurman Munson passed away. You know, I thought about when Roberto Clemente passed away. In some ways, Roberto was similar. Like I remember when Thurman Munson passed away, I remember being young and just the impact it had on me as a young person. You know, I love me some Thurman Munson. I hear about old heads talk about when Roberto Clemente passed away, you know, doing basically, he wanted to go along. He was always doing aid, always sending food, always sending supplies. And he would go along with it because he wanted to make sure everything was done, and died on one of those trips where he was doing work to kind of serve others. And just how people were heartbroken when Clemente died. Can you think of any other moment like this?
You know what? You made a tremendous comparison with Roberto Clemente. Because, see, when Roberto Clemente died, for those who didn't know, he was going to help the victims of the Nicaragua earthquake in Managua. And the thing was, he was just still that player. It was Roberto Clemente. He was still playing, in fact, with the Pittsburgh Pirates. And his plane went down over the ocean and was never found. His body was never recovered. And I remember as a kid back then when, you know, I love Roberto Clemente. And I remember as a kid just kept on, just like today, it can't be true. It won't be true. They're going to find him and everything is going to be all right. And so I can really empathize with folks like Darnell. Like, this can't be real. Everything's going to be all right. I'm going to wake up from this. And the same thing you're talking about Thurman Munson. He was still playing. The Yankees was winning championships. And then that tragic plane accident crash where he was actually flying. The only other thing, probably was a lesser extent, was the young pitcher from the Florida Marlins. That since you brought it up, that died tragically several years ago in the boating accident, right when he was in his prime, when it was just such a tragedy, and it was just such a shock. But just someone with the magnitude, with the cachet, with the legend that was Kobe Bryant, you know, you've got to go back a long, long time. And Roberto Clemente is the only thing that even comes close to mind to something like this, where it's just a unrealistic tragedy. You probably could find more of comparison when you look into entertainment. You know, when you think about the Jimmy Deans, or you think about even Aaliyah, or Left Eye.
Yeah, Aaliyah just passing. Yep.
Those sort of things, you know, probably, you know, jumps out more to this generation, where, you know, you've just got somebody out there young. You just see the potential. With Kobe, it was just going to be his philanthropic where he was going that way. Just where he was becoming a renaissance man, if you will, in his career after basketball, that you saw with him, that all of a sudden it's like, what just happened? And it takes the air out of you, because he is so well known, and again, so well liked, you know, like, and dare I say, more so off the court now with people versus what he was doing with the Lakers. It's just, you know, it's that kind of feeling. It's like you're sucked dry. It's like, what happened? This is not supposed to happen. You go back to when Prince passed away suddenly, or Michael Jackson. You're talking about that level of shock, okay, where you just don't expect these type of characters to just become human beings and die. And that's kind of where we are with this. There was no heads up. We're going about our Sunday, doing what we do, and then we get this just spine tingling, just news, just stops you in your tracks, and there's just no way that you can really process this in any kind of way. That's the way I look at it.
You know, one of the things I wanted to talk, like, you know, I remember, you know, a lot of the conversations as we were looking at kind of the transition of high school to, you know, the whole one and done conversation. And, you know, we kind of did a historical analysis of it. And, you know, we had that period with Kobe, and, you know, you talked about KG and think about what was interesting about Kobe, because a lot of it was framed around this hardship piece. But what's interesting about Kobe is, you know, this is a person who was, came from a pretty solid financial family, lived in Europe. This cat spoke multiple languages. And then when you think about that background and his impact on basketball, you know, the fact that he was on the court in the Olympics speaking to folks in their native language, like in a way that endeared him. I mean, you hear people like Embiid, you hear people like Luka, and some of these folks, the European players and African players, you know, link their drive to Kobe. But I think part of that drive was that the way in which he endeared himself to the international community through his embracing of language, right? He was, and it was like he was this different kind of one and done dude, right? He's, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, from high school to NBA kind of person, that he still seemed like he was someone who had experienced life, right? And how that impacted the game in terms of it. He's the first one to go to and try to really expand the game in China. And that was, I think part of that was his comfort in that more international global space, sometimes more comfortable than, you know, a lot of his struggles early on in being well respected in terms of kind of urban culture, right? You know, he's always seemed like he was chasing it. He was doing the album, you know, he did play ball at Rucker, trying to get his street credibility. But in that global space, you know, he seemed to naturally flow, and that did so much for expanding the game globally. What do y'all think about that when you think about his presence in terms of that global market, given the way he grew up? I'll go with you, Darnell.
What do I feel about his, I don't know. He's a very unique person. Like, he's one of a kind, one that's truly going to be missed. But I don't think that I have an answer for you, man. To be honest with you.
I'll move over to Hank on that one.
I know you've had
a chance to watch more, huh?
Yeah, I guarantee. I think that's what expands his popularity. you know, off of the basketball court. And I think that where you could take Kobe Bryant, okay, and on the basketball court, you can always have the comparisons with the Jordans. You can have the comparisons with the LeBron Jameses. You can have a comparison with any any other great basketball player. And you can sit there and you can categorize it by the name on the front of the jersey, okay? And you can go back and forth on that. I think what you're talking about is what he did off the court is what really, you know, changed the persona of one Kobe Bryant. That he did, like you're saying, all these different things he did across seas. The simple thing, the fact that people started to view him as a active father, you know, with his daughter. The fact that, you know, he was such a great ambassador for the game that again, he became just, you could almost say he became another sort of face for the league. He became just that guy that was a legend in his own time, but he was a likable one. You know, there's guys that you can say that, you know, even to this day, you can use guys like a Michael Jordan. You can say that there's people right now, as great as Michael Jordan was, there's people who can't stand him, you know, present company included. But you can't say that so much about a Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant became, again, such a likable a personality for the league. When you saw him on TV and stuff, he had that smile. He just looked so relaxed. Like I said, the things he was doing across the world, when you look and see some of the people that are offering condolences, this is from all over the world. I think Netanyahu from Israel, you know, offered his condolences today. I mean, that's international. Okay, that's international what he has there, and that is what I think really transcends his whole character, his whole legend. You know, that he was able to do that. That's the only other player that I could think of that has that had that kind of thing was you could say a Muhammad Ali to a certain degree, even though he has some abrasiveness, but even a Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, a player like that you know became a different type of character once they left the court. But still, when you look at Kobe today, he has a likability. He had a likability about him that even if you were didn't care for him as a player because of who he played for or even what his personality was, because it had to be, you know, you found yourself liking him off the floor.
Yeah, and I one of the things that you talked about, you know, even his advocacy of women, you know, WNBA laid out a landmark collective bargaining agreement for the basketball players in terms of salary, in terms of support for leave. And Kobe was an advocate for the WNBA because you need allyship when you're trying to push this kind of stuff. And he was very strong in pushing and supporting the WNBA as well. And so it was just, you know, ironically, you have this announcement of this landmark deal. I mean, when you think about across any, in terms of redefining what it means to be elite and be a woman elite in sports, I mean, WNBA redefining that. And I know he played a role in it. So that announcement comes out, you have LeBron, and then you have this tragedy happen just around this. Watch this interview he was doing with Jimmy Kimmel, talking about his daughter and as he's walking around with her, and people will say, you got to have a son to inherit your legacy. And she was basically telling people, I got that. You know, it's like that support that you have for something like that is amazing. And, you know, a lot of times on Real Sports Guys, we talk about, you know, the importance of transcending sports, the power of sports in terms of its greater impact on society. And he was just now transitioning that. The greatest part of loss that I felt today was what we weren't going to get, because I thought he was only getting started.
Yeah.
I thought he was only getting started. The lives he was going to be able to change, because I thought he was building a global vision that he was.
And I think that's why there was such a collective, you know, worldwide sense of just loss and despair. This wasn't just another athlete. Okay. I think a lot of people, you know, echo your sentiments, Devon, there was more greatness to come from Mamba, and people could feel it, they could sense it. You didn't have a problem seeing Kobe Bryant on TV all the time because of what he was doing. And I think that when you have a loss like this, when you have such a tragedy, you just feel like, oh, there was just so much more. There was just so much more that we were going to be privy to, and now that's gone, and that again is just raw sadness.
Yeah. Well, hey, it's probably going to be part of our conversation for a while, because there are going to be moments where we're going to be reflecting on, you know, what he meant. You know, I thought some prayers go out to his family. I can't imagine what Vanessa's going through, the family is going through, obviously Laker Nation, and just NBA. But, this is somebody, I think there's a piece of us who love the game and love what it means to compete. We all have a piece of us gone. We're going to close out. The only way we know how is with our, with the patriarch of the crew. We're going to drop the mic with Hank.
Thank you, guys. And I really appreciate this particular drop the mic. I had to write this down because I wanted to really put my words clearly, because I want folks to understand when I say this. A Kobe Bryant. I wasn't a Kobe fan for the right reasons. When Kobe Bryant and the Lakers were winning back-to-back championships, I despised him. When he scored over 80 points in a game, I called him selfish. When he proclaimed himself the Black Mamba and changed his jersey number, I called him arrogant and self-centered. I wasn't a Kobe fan because I was a fan of a different team that wasn't winning. I was envious. I was jealous. I was a fan that wanted all that Kobe Bryant was on the court for my team, and I couldn't have it. And I despised him for his greatness. Unfortunately, sometimes that's what fandom is. We despise what we can't have. However, beyond fandom, I admired Kobe Bryant for who he was. He was dedicated and loyal to his team for 20 years. He was dedicated to his family. And he was an ambassador to the league, and he was dedicated to his legacy and what he was going to leave behind. And I admired the type of ambassador that he became for the NBA. And his off-court personality made him a hard person not to like. He will truly be missed. Today is a day of great sadness for the Bryant family and for the nation. My prayers go out to his wife and his children. In a game that is basketball, Kobe and his Lakers made many a team look inferior. And I, like many fans, yearned for his type of greatness for my team. And since I couldn't have it, I wasn't a fan of his. But today, I am so thankful for his greatness. I'm a fan of his. And like so many people around the world, I am devastated by today's news. Yet, I consider myself fortunate to know that I was able to experience such a great player throughout his career. And like many opposing fans, I can admire, respect, and despise him all at the same time. Rest in peace, Kobe and Gianna Bryant. God bless.